It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Federal securities regulators have shown they take tweets by corporate bosses super seriously. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Tesla stock is down 12% in early trading here after the Securities and Exchange Commission yesterday sued Elon Musk for tweeting that he had, quote, funding assured to take his electric car company off the public stock market. The SEC says this caused the stock to gyrate, which hurt investors. The lawsuit comes less than 2 months from Musk's social media posts. Musk responded yesterday, the suit against him is unjustified and that he always acts in the best interests of shareholders. Peter Henning is a law professor at Wayne State University and a former SEC senior attorney. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this was fast, less than, I think, 2 months from trigger to lawsuit. What does the pace of this say to you? Anything?
Well, certainly this is a very high profile case for the SEC. So and they even said at their press conference that they really wanted to strike while the iron was hot. And, you know, typically an SEC investigation takes months, if not a couple of years. But I don't think they wanted to let this fade from the public's mind. So they're really sending a message here that we are ready to go.
Some other legal experts were quoted back in August saying that if regulators ever did anything about this matter, it would just be a slap on the wrist. But this lawsuit raises a kind of, I don't know, nuclear option for a founder-dominated company like Tesla. What is this, possibly banning him from serving as an officer or board member on a public company?
Well, that's probably the biggest hammer the SEC has. They've asked for a penalty, but that's likely to be a couple hundred thousand dollars at most, which would be for a billionaire like Elon Musk, not much. But it's the director and officer bar that's the key here. And what the SEC is trying to do is to send a message not only to Musk, but to other executives that if you step over this line, we're going to try to take away essentially your ability to lead a company. And you look down the line, too. Remember, Musk also controls SpaceX. And there had been talk about SpaceX possibly going public. If there's a director and officer ban, it's not just Tesla. It's any publicly traded company.
Now, by focusing on Musk, the SEC might be thinking that puts Musk as an individual in the frying pan, but somehow protects Tesla shareholders. But if Musk gets driven out by this, that might not help shareholders. There's an irony here.
Oh, certainly not. And there's an interesting split with this company that it has very devoted shareholders, but also one of the largest short interests, in other words, people betting against the company, of any publicly traded firm out there. So the divide over Tesla, the devotees are going to say, this is the worst thing ever. The short sellers are going to say, finally, someone's taking him to task and trying to hold his feet to the fire. So is it going to hurt shareholders? If he gets knocked out of the company, he has been the face of the company. So that's certainly not going to help shareholders. The question then becomes, can Tesla's board come up with a way forward without Elon Musk?
Peter Henning used to be a senior attorney at the SEC. He's now teaching law at Wayne State University. Professor, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Let's check the markets here. The Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ are each down a tenth percent or less, minus 34 points on the Dow. This is the week where the Federal Reserve raised short-term interest rates, yet the benchmark bond yield is falling today, meaning 10-year rates are not up but down, below 3.04% at the moment. Let's check in with a fellow whose office adjoins a New York bond trading floor. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FDN Financial. Hey there.
Good morning, David.
I mean, the story of the week is raising interest rates, the Fed, but I'm seeing interest rates lower, at least if you look at the 10-year yield.
They're down for a few reasons. They're down because last night we found out European inflation was lower than expected. We found out the Italians don't care about budget discipline. And this morning we found out consumer inflation in the U.S. was absolutely flat, which takes away the primary justification for Fed rate hikes.
Yeah, and so you'd think you'd see interest rates lower still, given that long list you just shared.
We also got news on the budget yesterday, and it looks like discipline has gone out the window. Congress ready to pass another $1 trillion budget deficit this year. So I think it is that impending supply that's weighing on traders' minds and keeping this rally from running any further.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
Over the past few months, you've been hearing Divided Decade, Marketplace's year-long project covering the Great Recession and its ongoing impact. As a nonprofit news organization, we believe this kind of in-depth reporting is critical to helping people understand the economic forces that affect us every day. Now, if you agree, please go to marketplace.org to become a Marketplace investor and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. And thank you. Senator Claire McCaskill, the Missouri Democrat, has introduced a bill to force employers to use the federal government's electronic system to check that new hires are U.S. citizens or have permission to work. That system is called E-Verify. Marketplace's Andy Euler talked with farmers and construction workers in Texas about this.
The Wildcat Dairy in Gustine, Texas, 2.5 hours southwest of Dallas. It's muddy for the hundreds of cows waiting their turn on the milking carousel. Muddy for the farmers, too. Dairy manager David Volleman puts on a pair of galoshes, and as we walk around the farm, he tells me his family moved here more than 25 years ago from Luxembourg when Volleman was 3.
I have 3 brothers, and my parents wanted opportunity so we could all be part of the family business if we wanted.
His family ran a dairy in Luxembourg, but Volleman says too much government oversight and regulation drove them to immigrate to Texas. Now, he says the family dairy is dealing with a new problem, finding workers.
10 years ago, you would have somebody come apply at your farm every couple days. That's not the case today.
Volleman says because running a dairy isn't seasonal like other agriculture, he needs help year-round. He says every one of his workers has proper documentation, as far as he knows.
If you came and applied and you bring me your driver's license and your Social Security card, how do I know that that's not just a really good copy you got somewhere?
Volleman chairs the Texas Association of Dairymen, a trade group for dairy farmers. He says that he and many of the 380-plus members believe requiring farmers to run everything through E-Verify would make hiring even more difficult, and he'd probably have to hire somebody full-time just to do it, cutting into his bottom line, even if the government program is free. He says if an E-Verify bill does pass, it ought to have additional elements.
If we have to verify that everybody's documents are correct, then it must come with a guest worker program.
Some earlier versions of similar bills have included a provision for guest workers. Stan Marek, CEO of a construction conglomerate based in Houston, has a different idea. He says there are plenty of workers already in Texas, but too many of them are undocumented and they can't be hired legally. He says the U.S. should make those who are already here pass a background check and give them a driver's license and Social Security number. Not amnesty, but the right to work here legally. Otherwise,
if we enact an e-verification bill without doing something about the people who are here, all we're going to do is force people to use labor brokers, independent subcontractors, anything but have employees.
Merrick has thousands of employees on his payroll, but he needs more. Many of his competitors, he says, already use and pay for labor brokers. So the legal obligation to prove a worker's documentation falls on the subcontractors. He's not doing that yet. But he says if e-verification becomes the law, he's probably going to have to. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And as the U.S.-China trade war intensifies, the global patterns of trade are shifting every which way. Reuters today notes that lobster shipments from Canada to China are way up because it's the competing U.S. lobsters with the Chinese tariff. And U.S. importers brought in a lot of frozen tilapia, salmon, squid from China over the summer. That's before the U.S. tariffs hit. But those stockpiles will not last forever. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.